Hi and hello and welcome to the RBR.music podcast. My name is Steve Curley and as always I'm joined by the creator of the RBR.music Instagram page, Jordan Murray. Hello.
Hello.
For each episode in true RBR fashion, we're bringing you classic and new album reviews. It's our mission to cut through the noise to discuss the sound. On the RBR radar this episode, we're going to be discussing a debut album, The Record, by Boy Genius, a three-piece group of solo artists combining, bringing their talents together to create something with great interest and a beautiful sound. Would you agree, Jord?
Let's find out through discussion.
Take it away.
Okay. The music on Boy Genius's full-length debut, The Record, has a fascinating relationship with nostalgia. Songs like $20 and Anti-Curse openly reckon with the past and its murky meanings, but past gods are never held in high regard. When Lucy Dacus chants out "always an angel, never a god" in "Not Strong Enough," you better believe she means it. The album's biggest kickback comes in the only song that directly names a past figure, Leonard Cohen. Dacus barely flinches while she rips the already dead Cohen a new one by calling him an old man having an existential crisis at a Buddhist monastery writing horny poetry. Dacus and the rest of the band clearly aren't idolising Cohen, but other than that slight, they're not really dissing him either. In fact, parts of Leonard Cohen quotes Cohen's own anthem from 1992's The Future. Specifically, Dacus quotes the line, "There is a crack in everything, that's how the light gets in," which is probably one of Leonard Cohen's greatest quotes, one of his biggest lyrics, most famous lyrics, sorry. It's not the only strange album credit making reference to a legendary folk poet either. In the album's liner notes, the band expresses that it is thanks to Paul Simon for inspiration on Cool About It. That credit likely comes as a way of circumventing the fact that the first line of the song's verses contains more than a passing resemblance to Simon and Garfunkel's 1970 epic, The Boxer. So you listen to Cool About It and then listen to The Boxer, and they are pretty much the same. Well, they're not the same, they're remarkably similar. The way both melodies rise and fall is unmistakable. The inspiration credit is as much as Simon gets for the track. He's not given an official writing credit on the song, which is quite surprising. So we'll see what happens there in the courts if Simon and Garfunkel get a bit annoyed about that one. The other references to singers of the past are more oblique when Dacus reveals that the album song "We're in Love" was written about her relationship with her bandmates. She also revealed that a specific reference in the track related back to folk icon Elliot Smith. They've always got a foot in nostalgia. If you look at their EP, which is called Boy Genius, it is remarkably similar to the Crosby, Stills and Nash album entitled Crosby, Stills and Nash, where they're sat on a sofa, one of them sat on top of the sofa, sort of where you rest your back, the middle lady is holding the guitar, and you know, it's pretty much a carbon copy of that album cover. So it is a complete and utter nod to that, but we're not talking about the EP. But just so the listeners are aware, they've always got they always seem to be with their influences. So 5 years is a long time from their EP to their album. So a lot of things have happened to them. So when the trio first joined forces in 2018, it was to bash out their EP over the course of 4 days. Everything about the record, the full-length debut, delivered half a decade later, feels more deliberate. Boy Genius spent a month cutting the record, releasing it to great fanfare in March 2023. And not only has it been praised, had critical praise, I believe it had hit number one in the charts. Am I right in thinking that?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah. I do think with this album, because they're all solo acts in their own right, and they've come together to make a band, the word supergroup gets thrown about. I find it hard to call them a supergroup. I think they're a very good group, but for me, a supergroup would be when you're a superstar of your own right, or in another band as a superstar. I'm aware of Phoebe Bridges, the other two not so much. I don't even think Phoebe Bridges is really a household name, and for that reason I wouldn't say they're a supergroup. I just think they're a band, they're a group. And I don't want to call them a supergroup because it feels like I'm setting them up to fail. If you're just lauding them with all this praise, where did they go from here? So I'm happy to call them a group. Everything I read, everything I see, the word supergroup just is getting thrown around everywhere.
Yeah,
I think,
good point.
Well, obviously I can't speak for the bands, but I think they'd like to step away from that sort of supergroup sort of badge.
Well, I think the term's just group, right?
It is.
Just a band.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is everything I've read or heard about this band, it's getting the term supergroup thrown at them, which I completely disagree with. It's just a group.
No, I think you've opened us up really well there. I think this type of album's right up my street. Me and Jordan, we cross over similarly with different genres of music, but we've always been quite conscious that my singer-songwriter / 90s indie, 2000s indie, sort of probably where I go often first, and this has so many nods to a lot of that. In my research, I'm always pleased. I make notes when I listen to an album, and I make notes in reference to kind of bands that they remind me of. I went down the route straight away of like Belle and Sebastian, Arcade Fire, Polyphonic Spring, The Pixies, The Staves, Bon Iver, Imogen Heap. Mm-hmm. There's other tracks where I can hear Damien Rice and Get Kate Where Kate Fly, Pete Yorn. It's all there. Even Kings of Leon I can hear. Yeah. There's quite a lot of what I would say like real nice homage sound and writings. The other thing that interested me is when I was actually researching the girls individually, I mean, they're over 10 years younger than you and me, but a lot of their music kind of influences are, you know, bands and artists that we did listen to. There are also some younger artists that we weren't as sort of heavily influenced by. Yeah, and that's fine. That's just generational. But I agree with what you say about Phoebe Bridges. She definitely has more of an established route that I'd be aware of. I was quite interested to sort of... I think she has been heavily influenced by people around her. I believe she She dated Ryan Adams when she was 20.
Ryan Adams.
No, not Brian Adams.
It's a bit old. But, well, you know, what's age but yeah. a number.
She also, I couldn't work out if she was or had dated. I know she's dating the, well, she had been dating the Irish actor. I forget his name now. Paul Mescal. And yeah, she's what I'm trying to refer to is she's definitely someone who I've like I said, I've picked up who she is and I've paid attention to that and her music. Her music has always probably been in and around kind of playlists that I've had on, but it's this album that's really brought me to sort of understand them more and really enjoy the nods to the past, the current, the influences. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. I know you and me might slightly split a little bit because this will sit in my genre more than yours, but I think we can both agree it's a very well put together album, right?
It's well put together. I think for me, it's a pop rock, pop indie album. It's got a good polish to it. There's vocal harmonies. What I really like is the creative writing. That's what drags me in. It can almost teeter on the edge for me of being a little bit mundane, but the lyrics and the passion that the lyrics are delivered in keep me listening.
Yeah.
It certainly has like the young modern angst that you kind of would expect from three young musicians. At its best, I know you've just pointed out a load of inspirations that they've pulled from or you can see similarities with. For me, at the best, I think the similarities are Cranberries.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say at the worst, but when it gets a bit mundane for me and polished, it feels like the 90s band The Cause. Not the vocals or the lyrics. Just the sheen of it all just seems a bit too polished.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny you said.
But that's a very small gripe. That's a very small gripe. It works as well.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that because I mentioned a band called The Staves. Who, if anyone knows them, they're three young women, I believe, from Ireland and. It's not a dissimilar in kind of like even potential sounds in that. I suppose it's just we're referring to a kind of I suppose a band that you know in their time were classic easy pop, and I don't think these three girls are trying to do classic easy pop. I think they are trying to sit in.
No, I don't think they do. Yeah, they're not trying to do easy.
No, pop. I think they're trying to stay true to. I actually think I like the nod to. Historic kind of indiness. I think that's I like that because obviously I don't believe we have enough of that these days, and there's not enough guys and girls with guitars, in my opinion, kind of breaking into the mainstream like there was when I was at uni or early 20s. There's less and less than that, and there's certainly a lot less than was in the 70s. You know what I mean? So for me, the more inspiration, and if you're taking inspiration from, you know, even if it is a quirky, odd found inspiration from Leonard Cohen or, you know, I mean, actually, I think Phoebe Bridges supported Bright Eyes as well. And you can hear that.
Right.
You can hear that coming through.
Right. And I tell you what I can hear coming through as well is Iron and Wine.
Yeah. I think there's nothing wrong in anything in what I'm saying, in my opinion, with like, them.
And The Cure as well.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Well, actually, the one of the oddest ones, and I don't think you necessarily fully agree with it from the opening, but I would stress anyone to have a listen. I can hear a bit of the Pixies, which I know is quite radical because, like, Pixies possibly one, you know, certainly one of the greatest indie bands of all time and, you know, appeared before their time, in my opinion, but, like.
Like grunge?
Yeah. But it's this harp. It's just like a sound back to a past, and it's a sound back to a past that ticks every box for me. In
so, would you say they've found their own voice, or they're just copying other sounds that new fans, younger fans, should I say, wouldn't be aware of?
You know, one of my favourite bands of all time is Oasis, and they openly acknowledged they took what they liked and what they thought maybe lots of kids their age didn't know, which was slightly more in-depth Beatles stuff, and rolled it out. I would say they have taken massive inspiration. I went on their Instagram to have a little nosy at them, and they're clearly kind of artistic and creatives, and I don't always need someone to reinvent a pop genre or a rock genre. I like what I like, and for me, and that's probably where you and me might differ slightly on this album, it ticks so many boxes. But I would say it's inspired, borrowed, lent upon, you know. I can get on board with that, because it ticks so many of my genre ticks, my wants. You mentioned it before. Pete Yawn's my favourite solo artist of all time, and well, second to Elvis, of course. But you know, Pete Yawn, there's the sounds in there of Pete Yawn, and again, that's like so. There's so many nods. This album was almost kind of for me, like one to just keep enjoying. And to be honest with you, I don't know what this means. I haven't got an opinion on it, but when you sent it through...
Right.
Well, no, because I don't know what I'm trying to say from it. But when you sent it through, I actually think the band name, which, by the way, I think is a brilliant kind of... I'll start again. So I was going to say the band name didn't grab me to start with when you sent it through, because when I heard the word boy genius... My first thought was kind of maybe it was a British band, slightly more kind of like maybe a modern indie rock or something. It didn't grab me. And then I started listening, started enjoying it, started doing my research. And actually, one thing that is really cool about the name is the name comes from what I've gathered anyway. The girls working with lots of like tainted male, you know, singer-songwriter geniuses, hence Boy Genius.
Newsly, the all-in-one super app for iOS and Android. How does Newsly work, I hear you ask? Well, it picks up the most trending articles on the web on topics that you choose, and at any given moment, reads them out in a natural human voice. For the first time ever, the entire web becomes listenable and all in one place. Browse articles from topics that you choose and start playing. Stop scrolling and start listening. You can follow topics such as sport, tech, business, science, even music. They have a podcast as well. Explore trending podcasts from over 80 countries. Our podcast, the RBR.music podcast, is there too. I've started using it as my default podcast app, and they even have digital radio. So download and start using Newsly for free from www.newsly.me in the description. And if you use the promo code, that's RBRMUS, you'll receive 1 month free premium subscription. Go and give it a go.
They call themselves geniuses.
The boys call themselves geniuses, and let's face it, these girls are probably outperforming, you know, these lads, and that's probably the kind of the self joke within, which I think is really cool and clever, because I also read that, you know, they don't want to be known as, you know, girl rock or girl pop. Like, they just, music's music, and I think you and I fully agree in that.
Yeah.
I love where the name comes from and what it means, and I love what the bands kind of like stand for. It just seemed like maybe the band name was a bit more kind of, I don't know, would be a bit of a Brit alternative band. That's what my first reading when you sent it through to me to have a listen. Obviously, you come from a much more founded position when you're researching these albums from straight off the bat, so you knew what you were coming to. So that was just an interesting take from that. But I do love the background of where the name comes from. I think what the girls are doing are pretty cool, just to just make music to be music.
Yeah, absolutely. They've had times, and I wonder if they always wanted to make an album, and this is, and then all of a sudden 5 years have passed and they've just realised that, oh, bloody hell, we haven't created an album. I just wonder, like, why it took them so long to put an album together.
It's 5 years, isn't it?
But much of the record for me, and I haven't, I'll be honest, I haven't heard much of the solo work besides Phoebe Bridges. But much of the record, as in this album, the record, feels like a conscious throwback to the spirit of 1993, where it blends, I've just picked a random early 90s year, yeah, where it blends the dreamier and noisier aspects of alt rock, feeling equally at home with the bittersweet strums of Leonard Cohen and the walloping hooks of Satanist, not to mention how True Blue and Not Strong Enough lands squarely in the middle of this spectrum. So I think it's a well worked out album, where I was very taken by the first two songs, were the Without You, Without Them, which is just them harmonising, and then $20. Then I think those two songs are striking, but it doesn't set the album up. The album is nothing like those two songs. I mean, they obviously harmonise, but I would have enjoyed it more if the album was more like the first two songs. I'm not saying I didn't like the album. I do like the album. But I think it goes into a more polished, people-pleasing album for my liking, which obviously does well for sales and it gets mainstream play, which is obviously what they want to get their point across, and that, you know, that's fine, but I would have liked it to be a bit more like the first two songs.
Well, I think the argument to that could definitely be that it's not having a full understanding of their solo repertoire, that possibly this is what they are. Obviously they've had varied success across their 11 albums, which is a fair amount of, you know, sort of musical output for, I mean, they're both, I think all three girls are under, I think, 27 or 28. So, like, I would never have thought they would be classed as, like, you know, novice musicians trying to find their way.
They've gone in there knowing what they're doing. They're not trying to feel it out.
Yeah, and it almost feels like
that was what the EP was for, I presume, 5 years ago.
Well, I don't feel like it. It doesn't feel like a debut album to me. It's not. I don't think it's written like a debut album. And I think what you're trying to say is that you kind of like the unknown outcome of a debut album, because a band just maybe have been together for, you know, 6-12 months, whatever, and they put their first album out. Well, these obviously girls clearly known and worked together, worked in the industry together, crossed paths, created their own music, and I suppose that term supergroup, which we don't like the term, but like collaborating artists maybe is a better use of term. Like, they're all bringing their skill sets fairly well polished towards the kind of end goal, and maybe that's why there is a more finished, polished version as the album kind of like goes on. Personally, I'm not saying you're wrong. That's not how I heard it. I personally just hit the album straight on. I actually don't love the first half. I think it's very impressive, the harmony in the first track, but for me, it was like one of those tracks that you used to get on, like a Killers album, where it's just like a random 30 seconds or 45 seconds worth of like musical interlude, which is all good and impressive. But for me, I just wanted to get to the music, really.
Not needed. Yeah, yeah.
These interludes, I think, bar the odd album in the last couple of years, interludes are fine. They're just there. I just want to get to the music, and the second, third, fourth, fifth time I listen to this album now, I kind of do just move quite quickly mentally past the first 30 seconds, 60 seconds, because I just want to listen to, you know, Emily, I'm Sorry or True Blue. I really enjoy this album. And I'm always going to be a little bit more kind of, as you put it, like, old, you know, sort of indie pop than you are. So that I thought exactly where we'd both come down this album. And I think we pretty much have. I think we're both agreeing that it, you know, three very talented musicians bringing their skill sets to the party. I really like what they could be. I'd probably like to see them as a band more than three individuals personally. And arguably, I think they'll have more success.
Yeah.
As a three piece doing this type of stuff. But who am I? I'm not Enemy, so I'm not.
What I no, you're RBR.music, and that's exactly. Even better.
Yeah.
what really interested me, or I enjoyed finding out, you mentioned Oasis, so I'm going to mention my favourite bands, the Rolling Stones. So Mick Jagger, this is going somewhere, yep. Bear with me, listeners. Mick Jagger, I can't remember, it might have been vice versa, actually, but was it Keith Richards spotted Mick Jagger with a Muddy Waters vinyl under his arm, and they struck up a conversation? They used to go to school together, and then they saw each other on a train, and they struck up conversation because he had records that the other one really liked, and they decided to form a band. So I've read, and I believe, that Julian Baker spotted Lucy Dacus reading Henry James in the green room of a venue and felt an immediate affinity with her, and the two became friends and developed mutual admiration for each other. And they started writing each other lengthy correspondence online. A month later, a similar kinship transpired between Baker and Phoebe Bridges, who ended up trading favourite authors and poets in their own email thread. And the three young singer-songwriters were very early on in their career. Things were happening for them, so they've kind of experienced all this together, like fame and solo artistry. And I just
it's funny you say that, because I think one of the reasons they all noted that they wanted to make a bit of a combined group is, ironically, they were frustrated with being compared to each other.
That's interesting.
It's almost like they've almost like made a friendship, like you just said, like all these, this recognition of like, oh, that's a person I want to know or be around. And then actually, from what I read, they sort of, it brought them close together. That,
how good's that?
Because I think Dacus and Bridges actually opened for Baker, like on the same tour, but on, you know, separate venues or something.
Right.
And you can sort of see that, like, they're almost fighting against this. Like, well, we're not carbon copies. The industry's maybe trying to make them like, oh, these are just three female singer songwriters. Yeah, you know, you all belong in the same corner. And ironically, that's kind of pushed them to create this band off the back of it, which I think is really cool, right?
Yeah, like absolutely.
That's so organic, great. And and I like, and I think the more and more I understand of them, and kind of, I think that's, yeah. That, and again, you know, look, let's hope they are as successful as, you know, the Rolling Stones. If that's where friendship is forged by, you know, a book being recognised or a face being seen, because we all know what music scenes are like. A lot of the same faces, artists, they'll sit in the same green rooms, having the same discussions and stuff. Like, if that's created music almost 8-9 years on, I think that's
yeah, they've stayed close. It's great.
And it again makes you feel that this is very much a passion project that may lead into more, because why would you have an EP 5 years ago and then
get an album to
wait all that time to
Because they could just have been forgotten, the EP, and the and the fact management have allowed them to do this as well. So they obviously see potential there.
Yeah, and I thought I read, I mean, obviously I appreciate all musicians are governed by, you know, the music managers within the industry, which are probably more receptive to artists than ever before, I would say, because there's probably less suits than there were in the sort of 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s dictating it. But like, I imagine these girls, from what I've read, don't seem to be dictated to. Like, they're trying to sort of, you know, create their own
piece. Yeah, they've got a lot of freedom to do what they believe is forward think. And I'm with them. forward thinking, strong, independent music, yeah.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I think we've pulled as much as we want to out of it at this point. So, okay, you can maybe edit this bit. Okay, well, I think that brings the discussion to a healthy close. And it's at this point we always refer to our first feature, which is the good, the bad and the rad. And as we say, it's one good track, one bad track and one particularly rad track. Jord, good track. What are your thoughts?
So the good track for me would be the Paul Simon-inspired track, Cool About It. It's very much like The Boxer by Simon and Garfunkel. Maybe that's why I really enjoyed it. I think they've kind of put their own spin on it. It's not a carbon copy, but straight away I did notice the similarities. But I enjoyed it, and it's a very good track. So that's the reason it's a good track.
You're spot on. It's a fantastic track. I know it's obviously openly acknowledged. It's I don't know what do you call it. Is it an homage or is it a micro cover? Is it a twisted cover? I don't know. It's just it's clearly
an homage. Yeah, is a nice word.
I mean,
put towards that.
The Box is one of my favorite songs of all time. It's a beautiful song, and I heard what you heard, and I didn't actually know the history to it, to honestly, you being lazy in my readings, but you obviously informed me and educated me, which made me even like it more.
It's why I'm here. It's why I'm here.
It is. I can hear Bright Eyes in there as well. There's some lovely... Yeah,
Bright Eyes is a brilliant band. That's a brilliant call that you've put there with Bright Eyes.
Well, like I said, it was also reading that one of them had supported them as well, so I think you can see, obviously, there's a lot of musical influence there. But yeah, to be honest with you, I struggled with picking a good track because I think there's a handful of tracks that are all at a kind of a similar tone on the album. I would give a little nod to Emily, I'm Sorry. Absolutely beautiful album. Single.
Track, song.
Yeah, really, really cool. Revolution Zero. I mentioned that Damien Rice sound. I mean, we're talking over 20 years ago now when he released his debut. I instantly heard that as well. So I think there's some really, really lovely tracks on this. And so, yeah, the good track, Cool About It, with all its nods to the homage. But there are some really other good tracks to have listened to as well. Well, I suppose I will lead with the bad track, which is fairly ironic because I've pretty much loved everything about this album. And no, it's not the first track, the interlude track, which I think is very impressive. It just, like I said, it's a music I want. It's actually the Leonard Cohen. And after I labelled it as the bad track, I don't really know why I have done, if I'm honest with you, Jord. Do you know why I have? Because it's still a really beautiful track.
It is a beautiful track. I just think it's the weakest track on the album, on a very good album. It fits nicely within the album. I just don't think it's as strong as other songs. I also feel that it possibly almost falls in, if it wasn't for the lyrics, it goes into like the pop sheeny mundaney sort of category, if I'm going to be overly critical. But other than that, it's perfectly fine.
But yeah,
on a good album, it's the weakest track for us. Yeah, for me.
Well, yeah, on a track of 12 songs, it's just 12, and that's fine. It's as simple as that for me. So yeah, Leonard Cohen are In Bunny Ears, bad track, and then our rad track, and we sort of both bounced around with this one because the premise of a rad track is always meant to be a little bit more kind of a foot stamper and get you up off your seat a bit, isn't it? And this album generally is quite a lo-fi album. It's, you know, a very, very chilled album. And there are a couple of tracks that are elevated in tempo. And I think we quite easily agreed. Well, we didn't easily agree because I think there's three rad tracks that stand alone, but I think we'll go with $20.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Would you agree?
Yeah, $20.
Yeah, it's probably the most kind of mid-2000s indie sound. It's got a bit of Strokes to it, a bit of Kings of Leon. I say it's maybe my favourite track just because it's quite upbeat. It's got some really cool...
And it gets quite growly near the end. It's like the tempo kind of changes.
Well, that's one of the ones that I'd refer to. It's got a Pixies-ness at the end as well, actually. But,
Cool okay.
drums, cool riffs. Yeah, I like it. But the other nods, I would probably say, is I think Not Strong Enough. It was pretty cool. And True Blue, they're quite rad as well. So, again, this album really does have a nice sort of mix of kind of our genre'd goods and rads across the board. But our rad track is $20. So, yeah, thanks. Enjoyed that. We've also got to revisit our star rating.
I was going to say, oi, we've forgotten the star rating, my lad.
Well, I hadn't forgotten, I just merely bypassed so we could...
You got overexcited again, didn't you?
We could continue our charming discussion and refer back to the R-rated facts, the RBR-rated facts. So, George, take it away with our star rating, pal.
I'm going to give this 4 out of 5. No higher and no less, because for me it's has a bit too much sheen to it. It's a little bit too pop indie for my taste, yet it is a good strong album. I appreciate what they've done here. I'm looking forward to the next album. Hopefully it won't be in 5 years' time. I mean, granted, it's got to number one in the charts. I just feel it's missing some sort of grip. But 4 out of 5 is... if you listen to our other podcasts... see what I did there? Or other episodes, should I say... 4 out of 5 is a strong position to be had.
No, absolutely, and I think 4 out of 5 is about right. Really, there's an element of professionalism we try and create with this, and we can always be led by our kind of soul opinions, and there's the broader audience that we want to kind of talk to and communicate new albums to, and. I can't just sit here and lavish all over it, and you can't sit here and say it's not quite fitting in my genre pockets, but we still appreciate it. It's a very, very good album, very well put together. So 4 out of...
I tell you what I've... Yeah.
Well, go on.
I tell you what I think a lot of people have bought into. Don't get me wrong, the album is good. It's a strong album. I think a lot of people have bought into the band members. They want to learn and know about the band members, the can relate to the band's members. There's a lot of...
Do you know what?
This album sounds like a breakup album, but it also sounds like the start of a relationship album, and which kind of is a juxtaposition, I suppose. But I think people that follow what either of the actual players in this band will buy this album, so it's gonna work out for them. Luckily and happily, it's a good album.
No, I think you've got a point actually, because when you're researching or understanding a new band, and obviously this is a debut album per se, so you know when you're understanding, you actually politely put you rarely get past a lead singer and maybe you know a lead guitarist or a slightly quirky bassist or whatever. I instantly went to the album, the band, and then the three individuals, and I read about Lucy Dacus, I read about Julianne Barker, and I read about Phoebe Bridgers, and I think that might give them the like a little kind of I don't want this to sound wrong, but like I think that's a leg up, because instantly I'm bought into three band members of a three piece band. Now, obviously, I appreciate if they tour, they'll probably have other artists and musicians with them, but like I am invested straight away, and I think that's a really good thing, because I probably would only be invested with a lead singer, and my impression is there isn't really a lead singer. I don't know if one girl takes more.
Yeah, they take it in turns.
Yeah, that's how I gathered it. Yeah. I mean, that's how,
and they harmonise as well, so you know they're singing at the same time in some places.
Well, also I think it's pretty much written between them. I think anyway, from what I can see. So yeah, I think that's you've got three leads
on the tracks. It's all
them, isn't it?
It's got their names. Yeah. So it's all there. Yeah.
And I think you know you've got three lead singers instead of one. And that is it.
But I'm excited to see their story pan out. Like I want to see where they're gonna go and what they're gonna. Not like where like I don't want to. I'm not bothered about what they're wearing or what supermarket they're going to, but I mean, where they're going to go with the music and their approach to it all. Like, it's a really interesting journey that I'm glad that I fell across Boy Genius.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think they'll get, if they stay together, obviously they'll probably do solo stuff as well. I think this is going to get stronger. Oh, I hope they do.
No, so I can see a strong following behind them, and I can definitely see, you know, sort of people of our age and down to sort of, you know, early 20s, late teens. It'll tick all those kind of like boxes and everything between. So, no, absolutely. Well, I think that's the perfect time to wrap things up here. Guys, go and give Boy Genius a listen. Really, really enjoyable album, the record, and I didn't mention it, but I'll squeeze it in, 42 minutes and 12 tracks of really well put album. So guys, go ahead and have a listen. Whilst you're online, please do check out the rbr.instagram page. Come and have a comment, discussion, or just simple read of Jordan's fantastic reviews. We're trying to build our community and hopefully spread the word of good music. So please like, subscribe, and make contact with ourselves. Cheers, guys.
They're not a super group. They're a very, very good group.